What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Backpacking Podcast.
Oh, thank you.
We have a live audience with us tonight. We are at J&H Outdoors here in beautiful downtown Lexington, Kentucky. Jeremiah, how you feeling, man?
Oh, dude, I'm excited.
Yeah?
It's fun to be here live, in person.
Dude, I'm nervous. Why? I don't know why, because there's people looking at us.
There's people looking at us, and we need a guest.
Do we need a guest?
Well, I don't know. Maybe we can carry the show.
You know, there's some guy shopping back here. Maybe he'd want to join us. Hey, excuse me, sir. Would you like to... Hey, it's Rob Pelton. Who knew?
No one told me that this show was starting. I was back there looking at, you know, some shoes and things I need to buy because, you know, I don't have enough gear. So that's why I got to J&H. I'm like, I need to buy some stuff.
I'll tell you what, this place is awesome.
It's a nice store.
If you're ever in central Kentucky, this is the place to go. And all I'm going to say is shop local, people. Shop local.
Absolutely.
So, Jeremiah, we got a big announcement that we need to let people in on. Rob knows the announcement. So,
I have something here in front of me that is from a company we mentioned last week. The sign-ups have already closed, I believe, on the 100-mile challenge, right?
They have.
Yeah. Awesome. So hopefully everybody's already joined there. And, John, I just need a signature here, if you would pass that over.
I will sign that right now.
There you go.
And I feel like one of those high school kids that's picking out their college. You know, they're like picking up the hats.
They
give you the fake out. They put on the other hat. Congratulations, John. We are now signed with Outdoor Vitals.
Outdoor Vitals has just become the title sponsor of the Backpacking Podcast.
Woo!
So very huge thank you goes out to Outdoor Vitals.
Very awesome.
Because, you know, they came after us pretty hard.
they're great people.
I mean, they were pretty like pushy about it. But you know what? I like them, so I'm glad they were pushy about it.
Now they're fantastic. We're excited
love
to work with them. Gonna be working with them for a while now, so you'll definitely, if you haven't heard of Outdoor Vitals, you'll definitely get to hear more about them as we continue to produce these episodes. Because, like John said, title sponsor now.
Title sponsor. That literally means that from next week on, we are the Backpacking Podcast, brought to you by Outdoor Vitals.
Live Ultra Light.
Live Ultra Light. So it's going to be fun. We're really excited about this partnership. They're great folks. We've worked with them for 3 years now. Taysen and the whole crew out there are fantastic. Mm-hmm. So, Jeremiah.
Yeah.
We've been talking a lot about how garbage Leave No Trace is. And
I see it on the bottle.
Oh,
here.
Yeah. That's good. That conveniently got put
so,
right there.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
So we've decided to bring in somebody from Leave No Trace who's actually already a friend of ours. Why he would even call us friends that we don't know. But we are glad to have Rob Pelton here to talk to us tonight about Leave No Trace.
Yeah, I appreciate that because it is a concept we're all familiar with, but it goes a little bit deeper in that, and I promise not to get too technical or too judgmental. That's not what we're about, but if we're all going to enjoy the outdoors, let's keep it better for the next time and for the next generations as well.
Yeah, love it. Love it. So let's get a little history. You've got actually somebody here with you.
Yes.
Maybe we should get her to come up to the microphone for a second so
I
everybody
so.
Can,
oh.
can talk to
I
her
think
as
so.
Well.
Yeah. So the amazing thing is we saw this job posting by Leave No Trace, and I forwarded it to Janelle, my partner, and I said, hey, check out this job. Yeah, this company is hiring for traveling education teams. And she said, let's do it. Let's apply. And I was like, all right, let's do it. So we applied, we got hired, and we uprooted our whole lives and made a big change, and now we're on the road full-time working for Leave No Trace.
Janelle, how are you?
Hey, you guys. Good.
So this guy talked you into traveling with him around the country, huh?
Or vice versa.
Or vice versa. That's true. That's true. So tell us a little bit about your adventures, like what you've been doing so far and everything.
Well, we've learned a lot, but we have done a lot of programs. One is a spotlight program, and it shines a light on a community, and it's a three-day spotlight thing where we kind of rally the community to help inspire and really keep the outdoors and preserve it and keep it beautiful. So that's one of the things that we've been doing a lot on the road.
That's awesome. That's awesome. We really appreciate that you allowed him to come up and talk to us because we know you're the one in charge. So
thank
yeah,
you
she
for
lets
understanding.
Me know it. Don't worry.
Yeah, we all understand. We all understand. So we got some comments coming in, and Janelle, you're actually pretty popular. Outdoor Adventures Outdoor Adventures with Shane is flat out saying we'd rather listen to Janelle, not Rob. So there's
and
that.
Go Iowa.
Let's see. And then, of course, Midwest Backpacker, Janelle, with 1,000 exclamation points. So Metro on the Move says, leave no hikers alone with your snacks.
That's right.
So, all right, Rob, let's talk for a second.
Let's do it.
You're kind of a world traveler when it comes to backpacking. As a matter of fact, I think your backpacking journey actually didn't start in the United States.
No, it didn't. I mean, I've always been in the outdoors as a kid because, it was free to play out there, right?
Right.
But my backpacking journey started in Nepal, of all places. It's home to a little thing called Mount Everest, in case you haven't heard of what that
is. You've only climbed that, what, 3 times now?
The last time was backwards.
Backwards. Good job.
Yep. And then that I really fell in love with the ability of just carrying everything you need on your back and just hitting the wilderness and being as self-sufficient as you can. And when I got back home to the States, I'm like, let's go find opportunities. And you know what? There's actually backpacking trails out there that I can hike. Let's do it. Let's spend a ton of money to live like I'm homeless.
I mean, isn't that the goal anyways?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
So you were talking earlier. We all went out to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And to celebrate you being on the show and our new contract, we took you to a very swanky restaurant,
which I appreciated. Yeah. Is it weird that I ordered the most expensive thing?
No.
I kind of expected it, to be honest. That was kind of what I thought you were going to do.
Hey, John.
Yeah.
Rob, we met up and done some hiking this weekend.
Yeah.
And tell them about, he kind of covered our food at one of the places.
So Jeremiah and Bridget took Janelle and I out just to see a couple of the really quick highlights of the Red River Gorge.
Oh, nice.
Now we weren't backpacking. We were just driving to the car, hitting a trailhead, and then, going to see the arches and different things. And then on the way back, we decided to stop at an ice cream place. No big deal. Let's get ice cream. Why not? We earned it, right? We hiked a little bit, burned some calories.
Yeah.
I ordered a scoop in a cup. Janelle ordered 2 scoops in a cup. Bridget ordered a coffee, and this guy right here was like, I need 3 of the biggest scoops you can get into this waffle cone, and they were so impressed by it, they had to take a picture of it.
Yeah.
And we're like, you're not going to finish that, man. And he said, excuse me?
Dude.
Yeah, there was not a trace left of that.
Challenge accepted.
It was impressive.
We got in the truck, and I was driving on the way home. I was finishing this this ice cream. I said, this last bite. I got down to the last little nibble, the point of the cup.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Said, I'd like to dedicate this last one to all the haters out there that didn't believe in me.
Uh-huh.
Pop that. But I did make a mistake, and don't send me any hate mail over this. There may be
Actually,
some overlap.
Please do that. Please send him hate mail over this.
No. There may be some overlap in the backpacking community. I don't know. But I accidentally got, was it the cookie crumble or something like that? But it was vegan.
That's right. I remember that.
Cookie butter. Thank you, Bridget. Cookie butter.
Wait a second. Cookie butter?
Cookie butter vegan.
Vegan.
What?
Yes.
Ice cream.
Vegan. It's an accident, man.
That doesn't even sound possible.
I didn't know.
Butter and vegan?
Well.
Doesn't it come from cows?
Yeah. I don't know what they, I guess fake butter.
Fake cows?
Almond butter. Is that a thing?
Yeah, maybe the cows. Almond butter is a thing. Coconut.
Maybe the cows are vegan?
But, actually, I was kind of thankful for it because that was so much dairy, dude. I was afraid. I was like, if I eat these 3 scoops of dairy, I don't know if I'll make it home without a toilet.
If it's vegan, you did not eat dairy.
Oh, only one of the 3 scoops.
Oh,
vegan.
Okay. I thought the whole thing was non-dairy.
No,
okay, I'm following you
that
now.
That was a 33% mistake. 66% of the ice cream cone was real dairy. I got cherry. Was it black cherry?
Black cherry.
Uh-huh.
The
cookie butter. And then caramel delight.
Caramel delight. All 3 in the same cone.
Oh, stacked on top. Once you get done with one, you just get excited again because you got a whole different new flavor.
According to Metro on the Move, vegan equals made of vegans.
Maybe.
I hope not.
I don't even know what to do with that, to be honest with you. I don't even know what to do with that. We got a few comments on here real quick. I want to throw up. I don't want to throw up. I want to put some comments up. But Ben McMillan says, is it too late to watch Rob out or to switch Rob out for this nice lady?
Right. Oh, exactly. Yeah.
Everybody likes Chanel. Everybody likes Chanel. We've got King of the Woods already asking for the poop chat. Don't worry. It's coming.
Oh, boy.
It always comes. And then Jeff Peters, I thought GoNext was going to be the title sponsor.
Ooh. Oh.
How many years has that been going?
Since 2020.
Ever since I've known the Shill Brothers.
That's been going on for 4 years,
man. You were so excited about GoNext. You were so excited.
It's fun, man. GoNext, they still email me every once in a while. Yeah. And the funny thing is, they never know they've ever contacted me.
I know. I've gotten 15 time. Different emails from them, and they always and I've always told them no, or you can send it, but I'm not promising you anything.
It's always
and
a different person.
Yeah.
You want to hear something funny? So Midwest Backpacker, he gets a lot of these emails, right?
Yeah.
And he finally got one from GoNext. And that was the point he felt like he made it on YouTube.
Oh, he is. If you're getting it from GoNext.
You're welcome.
Wow.
Yeah, good job, bud. Good job,
Jeremy. Proud of you, buddy.
I haven't gotten an email from them yet.
Oh, you've not made it, man.
Yeah,
not
made it. I'm working on it.
It's on the way.
Not made it. So, okay, Rob, several years ago, you know, we talked about that backpacking trip, and this is the first time you and I have actually been in the presence of each other since that trip.
That's correct, and that was a while ago, but it feels like I see you all the time.
I know. We chat.
Yeah.
We chat a lot, but we never see each other.
Correct.
So I'm going to be honest with you. When I saw you tonight, I might have got a little emotional.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I appreciate
that. I saw
that,
you, and I might have, the pit of my stomach, I might have gotten a little sick, and, you know.
Really? Yeah.
Wait, that's not right.
Yeah, was that like 3 scoops of ice cream talking?
No, it was more like I missed you.
Oh, I appreciate that.
And we're glad you're here.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me.
And I hate the fact that everybody's making fun of you.
No, I deserve it 100%.
Actually, I think it's hilarious.
Where was y'all's first trip at?
Kettle Moraine,
up in Wisconsin.
Up in Wisconsin.
Okay, I don't know anything about
February.
Yeah, okay. It was supposed to be their first winter backpacking trip. Uh-huh. And for the Kentucky boys and the Ohio boys, it was. But for, like, myself, Midwest backpacker, it was, like, summertime. It wasn't cold. It got down to, what, 20? That's child's play.
It got below 20.
Child's play.
20's cold. Was it snowy?
Yeah. Oh, it was about a foot of snow.
On the ground.
Yeah,
there was about a foot of snow. I remember having to dig out a spot for my stuff for my hammock.
Yep. What about walking?
We buried
through
our water at night so it wouldn't freeze.
That's right.
And like half the guys, their water still froze.
Because the snow wasn't deep enough. Yeah,
no,
I remember.
Filter casualties.
Yeah, no.
No, we were all good.
No, it was a good trip though.
Yeah, we got
trip.
Free little Debbies on that trip. If you remember that.
That's right. Yeah, you had some trail magic.
Oh, wait a second. Is this
okay? So here's the story. Here's the story. Yeah, we're all hiking, and we hit a road. So we stopped on the side of the road. And we all set up for lunch. And so we're all just sitting there chowing down, and all of a sudden this random car comes up and says, "Are you Dan Becker?" And so Dan goes and takes pictures all this. Well, another car comes up, and we're all like, "Oh, here comes a Dan Becker fan." It wasn't. He just comes up and goes, "Are you guys a bunch of hikers?" We're like, "Yeah." He goes, "You want some Little Debbies?"
No, it was Girl Scout cookies.
It was Girl Scout cookies. That's right. It was Girl Scout cookies. And so he goes, "You guys want some Girl Scout cookies?" And we're all like, Yeah. And so he gave us each a box of Girl Scout cookies.
I remember. It was so good.
It was awesome.
But when Dan Becker got recognized, he couldn't even put his hat on anymore because his head swelled so much. he was like, yeah, see?
Well, I think the funniest thing was how bent out of shape Jeremy was because nobody recognized him. He's like, "I guess I'm not Jan Becker." And Jeremy, I love you, buddy.
Hey, Rob.
Oh, look at this. He just said Rob makes everyone's stomach turn.
Wow, see? That's how I do it. That's
he loves
magic
you.
Of
Can
me.
You
loves
tell
you.
Him about the recognizing stuff? Y'all went backpacking with
I
Mr.
Love
backpacking
this.
With
I
Jason
love
Sir.
This story. So a few days ago,
listen to this.
Mr. Backpacking with Jason Sir was kind enough to take Janelle and I on a backpacking trip through the Red River Gorge.
Which is awesome.
Amazing place. If you don't know about the Red River Gorge, it's an amazing place to backpack. And this is Backpacking with Jason's backyard. His whole YouTube channel, a lot of it is based on that, and he's like Mr. Red River Gorge backpacking, right? Mm-hmm. If you need to know about Red River Gorge, you contact Jason.
Yeah.
So we were hiking down from Double Arch, you know, and coming downhill, and we yielded to, oh no, a group yielded to us coming down. And then the guy stops, and he looks at me, and he goes, "You're Rob Pelton." And I was like, "Yeah, I am." And I went to motion to Jason, like, "Hey, this is Jason," but he almost like pushed Jason out of the way to shake my hand. You know, and I was I appreciate the channel. But I was so flustered because, you know, I'm not used to it. Janelle was quick enough to be like, "Oh, hi, what's your name?" I didn't ask the dude's name, but his name was John, right?
He's got a great name.
Yeah, right? Really cool guy, gracious. And he actually sent me an Instagram message saying, "Hey, it was great meeting you. I know it wasn't a place, you know, or the time to have a conversation, but I was glad to meet you." So I appreciate that, John, if you're watching. It was awesome meeting you, and hopefully you got to the Double Arch because it was awesome up there.
Yeah, a Midwest backpacker responded to my comment about him being upset, and he said those cookies didn't sit well.
Yeah, no, it didn't. He had a bad time.
He threw those cookies.
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did. So, okay, let's talk about Leave No Trace.
Okay.
Oh, here we go. We're getting preachy now.
Right. Let's talk. Janelle gave us a little backstory that, you know, how you guys got involved in it, and you gave a little backstory on that. So what I want to know is, can you fill us in on what are the basic principles of Leave No Trace? Because obviously you have memorized at this point.
Yes, we do, and I could have help from Janelle. She knows them just as well as I do. We actually teach workshops together. We actually teach like...
But she's giving dirty looks right now. I don't know if she wants to. Like, I'm just saying.
So there are seven principles of Leave No Trace. And keep in mind, these aren't rules. These aren't things where if you don't do these when you're outdoors, then you're the worst person on the planet. No, these are just a set of principles that we hope you keep in mind just to make a smaller impact while you're out there. Because we're already outdoors. We're already making an impact just for us being there, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But are there things you can keep in mind just to minimize it?
Right.
Yes, there are. Right, and obviously, if you want way more information, you can hop onto lnt.org. There's a lot of stuff there, and there's a lot of YouTube videos on the different principles as well. But I'll walk you through them, and I won't just walk you through them. I'm going to do hand signals with them as well. All right, you're going to do them with me?
I'm going to observe.
Okay, come on, let's do it right here.
All right.
There are seven principles to Leave No Trace.
Yeah,
all right.
Seven.
First one is plan ahead and prepare. Right. Look at the weather. Look at your permits. Look where you're going. Make sure you're getting all your gear together. So plan ahead and prepare.
Is this like Detroit?
It's like your list, right?
Sorry. Yeah. Gotcha.
Okay. All right. Principle number two.
Two.
Travel and camp on durable surfaces.
Wait a second.
So, I mean, there's an established trail there. Try to stick to it to concentrate the impact that's already there. Now, there is dispersed hiking, things like that, yes. But when possible... You know, especially with a larger group, try to stay on trail. And when you get to camp, use an existing campsite, because they say good campsites are found, not made. All right? Principle number three.
Oh, three.
This is a little garbage picker. Dispose of waste properly. And that goes for garbage and also human waste. So now your three turns into a trowel. You dig your cat hole.
Look at that.
Right? So three, dispose of your waste properly.
Your tripod becomes a trowel.
Yeah, right? Principle number four.
Oh, wait, that's
not four.
Minute.
Yes, one, two, three, four. Leave what you find and take a picture instead, right?
So
awesome, like, field in the middle of nowhere full of awesome flowers, right? Well, take a picture of that. Let the next person who finds that field as well enjoy it just as much as you did, because if everyone took a flower, well, there'd be no flowers left.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, so take a picture, leave what you find, all right? Principle number five, we do this, right? What do you think this is?
A dangerous bunny rabbit.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
It's not stay away from porcupines, right?
Oh, that's a good one, yeah. Porcupines.
It's minimize campfire impacts.
Oh, it's a fire. Oh, my gosh. Okay.
We're quick.
Jason,
we're quick.
Jason,
have your campfire. Awesome. You know, but when you leave, make sure it's out. And when I say out, make sure it's out, okay?
Mm. Oh, can I tell you something?
Yes.
Grayson Highlands, a few years ago, went with Miyagi and Trips.
Yeah.
And my buddy Josh and Hunter's Trip. You know Hunter? Okay. So we all went to Grayson Highlands, and Josh and I are hiking on our way out, and there's billowing smoke coming across the trail.
Serious.
And somebody had left the fire just smoldering.
Yeah, see?
And there was a flame that was starting to come up again, and we barely had enough water to make it to the end of the trail, and we ended up having to use a full bottle of water between the two of us to put out their fire.
Right, so if you leave a bed of coals there, if the wind picks up, it can spark up those embers.
Oh, yeah, you know, that's exactly what happened.
And then those embers could float and then cause a forest fire, because most forest fires are actually man-made.
Hey, man, Ben McMillan says you need another YouTube channel doing shadow puppets.
All right, maybe. Oh, yeah. Maybe.
Hey, let me ask you about the campfire thing.
Yeah.
So let's say that you're dry camped, you're leaving camp, you had a fire, you're out of water.
Okay.
What would you do in that situation? I assume it's depending on the circumstances. Maybe you're in the desert, maybe you're in the woods, whatever.
Dirt. Well, hopefully you went back to principle one and planned ahead and prepared.
But I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't.
All right. If you didn't, then you're going to want to disperse those ashes as much as possible. Right. Mm-hmm. You want to get those to burn out. But hopefully you're burning firewood that's small enough to be burned all the way through and not burn overnight. So if that happens, if you do the best you can, you can throw dirt on it, throw sand on it, snow on it. Mm-hmm. You just don't want exposed ember. That's going to be the worst, because it could spark up.
Okay, what about urine?
Urine would be the best, actually. If that's all you got, pee right on that.
That's all I have.
Yep. And you know what? You're killing two birds with one stone.
Yeah, it's a little easier for a guy, but I'm just saying. Yeah.
It's a good plan. It's going to smell awful.
But I will tell you from experience, it does smell terrible.
It smells awful. Yes. It's one of the worst smells on the face of the planet.
But if that's all you got and you got to go anyway, use it for the fire.
Quite effective.
Yeah.
Mm. I like that. I like that. So that was five.
That was five. Number six.
Oh.
Number six.
Oh, three goggles.
Or sunglasses.
Respect wildlife.
Oh, it's right? an owl.
Ears. Like it could be an owl. Respect wildlife. Ooh.
I was thinking
right?
moose.
Yeah.
So oh, moose. I like moose.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It could be a moose. So respect wildlife.
Why
when
are
you're
we
out
doing
there.
This right now?
Because when you're outside, I mean, you're we're encroaching into their home, basically.
Right.
We're in their living rooms and backyards, right? So just try to minimize your impact on them, and that goes for like leaving food behind. You don't want them habituated and you know, associating people with food, even though that's already happening.
Oh yeah.
Have you heard a fed bear is a dead bear?
Yeah.
I haven't heard that. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, because the people would have the right. people that run the forest services would have to actually. Execute
euthanize,
them basically.
Exactly
yeah.
right. So yeah, so just respect.
Euthanize
wildlife.
Sounds a whole lot better than execute.
Yeah, yeah. Execute
we get like a firing line.
Can some they not? Can they relocate some?
Yeah, they can. But if they still associate people with food, they're always going to find out.
Yeah.
There's actually some bears getting so smart they actually can open up a bear canister now.
Mm. Well, I was going to say in the Smokies they can open car doors.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
They open car doors. I know Tim Watson. I don't know if you know who Tim Watson
yeah,
is, but
I know
his minivan, a bear opened the front door. Crawled into the van, into his minivan, and the door shut behind him. So the bear got stuck in the van and couldn't get out.
Oh no!
Tore up their van.
Wow!
Finally, they came out. The side door open. Thing ran out and took off because it was so scared.
So a quick tip: our bears are actually starting to recognize what coolers look like. So even if you keep your cooler in your car, if they see the cooler in your car, they know there's food in there. So if you're gonna leave it, just put a blanket over it or something.
These bears are getting smart, dude.
Seriously.
When are they gonna start getting to where you say, "Hey bear," and they go, "What?"
Hey boo boo.
Yeah. What?
What? And then the last principle: want to wave at your people, give them a peace, be considerate of others, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe give them a hang loose sign.
Oh, sorry. Wave. It's supposed to do seven.
Yeah.
My bad.
Wave and hang loose, because basically you're outside enjoying the outdoor space just like they are. Right, they may enjoy the nature a little bit differently. You,
right.
That doesn't mean it's wrong, right? So respect their time in the outdoors. They should respect yours because you know these natural spaces they're for everybody.
Can I rant?
Absolutely.
Oh, let's hear it.
It's your podcast.
You're right. It is my podcast. Dang it! Listen, don't bring your speaker out there on the trail and play
it
at full blast. I don't want to hear your music. Although the Boy Scouts that we caught in Alabama one time. Walking, listening to Tom Jones cracked us up a little bit. So,
really?
It's not unusual to be loved by anyone. I'm not kidding you. That's what we heard coming down the trail. And there's a bunch of high school boys carrying a boombox.
That's the one
a
exception.
A boombox. And I was
like a
legit boombox holding it over his shoulder. And they're all rocking to Tom Jones coming down. I was like, okay, I'll let that one go.
That's the only exception.
I'll let that one go. Yeah. Everybody else, stop it. Okay? Stop it.
Actually, we talked about whenever we were doing our day hikes this weekend. About the noise pollution, because sometimes I do bring a speaker, and we talked about when is the appropriate time to use it. And I think we kind of settled on being courteous to others.
Yeah, I mean, it can affect animal behavior, too, if you're blasting it. It could, you know. But if a lot of people, they're listening to it so that they're not get bored. Maybe they're doing 30 miles a day, and they need something to break up the monotony. Mm-hmm. That's fine. I know they make little speakers that mount right onto your shoulder straps in your backpack. Hit a button, and it pauses. You know, you can pass people, and then
There's also headphones.
There's also
I'm sorry, earbuds.
Exclusive, no out loud.
I do not speaker. Like other people's music when I'm hiking.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm like, get some earbuds.
Yeah,
they make them. They're cheap.
Yeah, you're right.
You don't
have to
get good ones. Get cheap ones.
Yeah, but noise pollution is part of it. Even noise pollution is part of it. If you're at camp with a bunch of people, use your green and red lights.
And if you're listening to Taylor Swift, just stop it. Okay.
Ooh. Oh, those are fighting words.
I'm glad people like her, but I don't have to. Do I have to? No. I don't, Jeremiah. I don't have to like her. Okay, we got a super chat. Actually, I don't mind Taylor Swift for the most part. Derwin off the rails.
Oh.
The alter ego of Darwin. He's got a $9.99 super chat for us. His principle number 8, steal Jeremiah's pre-dug poop hole once he wanders off. He doesn't mind.
There should be a leave no trace principle against stealing already pre-dug poop holes.
Well, that's actually a pro tip. If you know you're going to be in camp, go ahead and pre-dig your poop hole.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't have enough time to dig it.
Oh, no. There are those days.
Yeah.
Especially if you're eating Mountain House.
Oh, yes. Shots fired. Do they sell? Y'all sell Mountain House here?
No, this is a high-quality establishment, bro. They're not selling that Bush League stuff. I'm just saying.
We got real bad.
That ain't happening here. Yeah. That ain't happening here. So, look
not
at this. So, Packraft the World said John just invoked the Swifties to war.
See,
that's a big army,
I'm telling
man.
You, they're fighting.
That is a big army, dude.
They willed them to
we
the
just
Super
lost.
Bowl.
Like we're going
to
lose our sponsorship. Right. Like Ovi's going to get that contract saying we're not doing this. You invoke the Swifties. It's over.
You don't want to fight the Swifties, dude.
You're right. I mean, they did make this the most viewed Super Bowl in the history of Super Bowls.
The Taylor Swift effect, man.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
crazy. Crazy. So, okay, so those are the eight principles.
Seven.
Eight. No, the eighth. You forgot the eighth one.
The pre-dug holes.
Yeah, we got pre-dug holes.
Okay, fair.
Yeah. We got eight principles now, so I hope you all are paying attention.
Take notes, folks.
And you thought I made a mistake. That's the best part about it.
What's the most egregious that you see out there?
I mean, a lot of it's trash, honestly.
Yeah?
It's just trash, but a lot of it is incidental trash. You get a granola bar and you tear the corner off, and maybe you lose the corner, right? Or maybe you lose the bottle cap off your bottle. Right?
Yeah.
Those are the things that add up really, really, really big, because a lot of people think, oh, it's just the corner. Yeah, but if 1,000 people visit that park that weekend, well, that's a lot of corners.
Well, and if an animal happens to eat it.
Right.
It could choke them and kill them.
It could.
I mean, it's very realistic.
Right,
because
there's food sand on it. Yeah,
that's plastic. Yeah. You know, they don't know any better. So.
What about the non-synthetic stuff?
Meaning?
Banana peel. I mean, maybe you take an apple out there, you peel it, or maybe the little halos.
Right. So that's kind of a controversial thing, and I'm trying not to get too preachy here. But
I love how he taps me on the shoulder as he says preachy.
John, no music.
I like that.
So a lot of people, they're like, yeah, banana peel, orange peel, apple core, those are natural things. Those are okay to throw out in the environment.
Right.
So, yes, they are natural. Yes, they will decompose, thankfully. And like a banana peel can take up to 2 years, honestly, in a normal environment. But a lot of those things really aren't in an animal's natural diet. You know, unless they live on an apple orchard or something, right? But for the most part, no. But you're discarding those on the side of the trail. Now it's bringing animals to the side of the trail. Now you're increasing animal people, you know, proximity. And there are animals that are so habituated to humans and have food, they actually get aggressive if you don't have food.
Yeah.
Right? Some animals are even losing the ability to forage food for themselves because they don't have to anymore. Right?
They know where campsites are.
They know where campsites are. Right, so that's a big thing. So we do consider those kinds of things litter, and those are things that we should pack out.
That's actually one of the things that's made the Red River Gorge so great, is that there's so much bear hunting in eastern Kentucky.
Is there?
Bears don't like coming around humans in the Red River Gorge. You'll rarely ever, see a bear.
Thankfully.
If ever see a bear, because they're terrified of humans.
Maybe the Clifty Wilderness area is the only place, and that's kind of like, I mean, that's at the gorge, but it's kind of like outside it.
Yeah.
Is what I would consider it.
Yep. That's a good thing, because there's a lot of people in the gorge. I mean, climbers, too.
Of
climbers.
Yeah. You just don't see – you may see some scat, but you'll never see a bear.
Interesting.
Have you ever seen a bear? I've been there.
The interior part, I just figured there's so much foot traffic through there that it kind of just keeps them all away.
We were hiking, we actually didn't see that much garbage, surprisingly. There were a couple of spots that were old dump sites from way, way back. But
yeah.
For the most part, we didn't see a lot of trash on the
That's because Kentucky's awesome.
That's very impressive.
Just want to say it. My Kentucky friends that are here, do we agree?
Oh,
see, there we go. There we go. We love our Kentucky people. Thank you. Thank you. So we do have another super chat from Ben McMillan.
Oh, fantastic.
But before I show that, there is a ban button on here, people. You need to understand this. Oh. And our buddy, Midwest Backpacker, just said Ohio State is trash.
Wow.
And I'm just telling you, bro.
Wow.
You're risking a lot here.
Oh,
I'm just saying.
You're about to break out the band hammer?
I'm about to get preachy, okay? So just watch it, pal. But Ben McMillan got on here and he said, 1999 from Ben McMillan, so that we can get an Eras Tour movie rental so we can watch the Taylor Swift Eras Tour. So, we'll think about it.
Oh, thanks, Ben. I might use that.
We appreciate you, Ben, but I'm probably going to use that $19.99 to get a steak with this guy or something. So we also got a super chat, $4.99, from Spencer Davis. He says, I've been listening to the background for the last 6 months. I appreciate what you all do.
Oh, thank you so
much. Listening in the background.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Cool.
Thanks, Spencer. Appreciate that, man. Okay. So now that's the nice part of Leave No Trace.
Oh, boy,
tell us about the seedy underground.
The seedy underground?
Of Leave No Trace.
Oh, boy. What is the seedy
underground? Is there a Leave No Trace mafia?
There is, unfortunately. Now, a lot of them are anonymous keyboard cowboys who get very internet bullying into shaming in the name of Leave No Trace.
Right.
We're not in the market of shaming people about what they do, okay? We hope to make an impact for long-term behavior change, right? So there's a lot of people in the name of Leave No Trace, you're doing that wrong, you need to do this, da-da-da-da. No, that's not how we approach things, right? Because that might affect short-term behavior change, right?
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time, if someone's yelling at me, I naturally want to do the opposite.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've never seen an argument where you got yelled at, and at the end you're like, you know what? You're right. Calling me an idiot, so now I feel better about it. Yeah, so now I'm going to listen to you. So thank you.
Exactly right. And also keep in mind, as far as Leave No Trace goes, there's never a Leave No Trace emergency. Like, if that doesn't happen instantly, you know what I mean, then the whole world's going to, you know, explode or something. But it's just things to help reverse some of the impacts over time.
Yeah, that's yeah. It. Well, I was going to say, if there's a Leave No Trace Reddit, don't go there.
Oh, probably, yeah.
That would be a dark place.
Don't do it.
No doubt.
Let me ask you a challenging question here on the Leave No Trace front.
Okay. All right. Oh, no.
Seatbelt? You got your seatbelt
on? Oh, no.
Woo, buddy.
Here we go. What would Leave No Trace people say about Leave No Trace versus the wide impact that just everyday life and commerce has on the environment?
So a lot of that's front country, right? Like just everyday stuff. So obviously, mm-hmm. when we get into garbage and we get into recycling, mm-hmm. you know, there are things that we should probably do better on. Recycling especially, aluminum cans are infinitely recyclable. You know, those things should be recycled. But I know there's a lot of things coming off the ground, like biodegradable packing materials, and there's different like funguses like mushrooms that eat plastic now, and they're trying to scale these things up, but right now they're not large enough to make any real effect in the world. But the plastic bags you get from the grocery stores, mm-hmm. those are probably one of the worst things.
So take less of those.
I mean,
so we should burn them.
Burn them. Send them to the
atmosphere.
The fireplace,
right? Exactly.
Well, I mean, that won't do anything, right? That doesn't do anything to the environment.
So we're to a point now where, you know, since we live out of our car, like we use those plastic bags for garbage, you know, we throw them in the garbage. But mm-hmm. those things shouldn't end up in recycle bins, because those will actually jam up a recycler, and then that whole load just goes in the garbage, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we're to a point now where we have our reusable bags, and when we say, no, we don't need a bag, they look at us like, you don't, what do you mean? I don't understand. It's like, no, we got bags. It's fine. You know, but we already have 10,000 bags in our car, and everyone else probably has a million bags under their mm-hmm. sink right now. Right. Yeah. So, yeah, we don't need any more bags. So we'll use reusable bags.
It's funny that you say that, because Mary gets on here and says, Leave No Trace should be losing their minds on plastic grocery bags.
It is.
That is the worst.
You're right. And they're, yeah. I mean, I know there's some other companies that are going bagless as well, so which is a step in the right direction. But like Aldi, there's no bags at Aldi, right? It's a grocery store, you know Aldi?
Yeah, there's one where I live. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, you got to bring.
They
your
don't
own,
give you bags.
Yeah, you got to bring your own bag at Aldi.
And they don't give you a shopping cart either.
Yeah, you got to pay.
You don't pay the quarter. You got to put the quarter in, and it unlocks the cart. The carts are chained together.
See, I think that's just dumb.
Well, people just leave the quarter in.
I'm
there,
cool so. With the bag thing, but come on, bro.
Well, you get the quarter back.
I don't care. It's dumb.
It makes you return.
It doesn't matter.
You get too many quarters. That's what it sounds like.
It's just dumb. I don't carry change. Well, if you don't carry change with you, now I got to carry everything in my arms.
Well, maybe you're buying too many groceries. Did you think of that?
Oh, maybe I got two kids and a wife I got to feed.
Touche.
So,
touche, John.
Maybe I need more groceries, Jeremiah.
But yeah, larger as a whole, if unless some of these larger corporations really take a big stance on it, it's going to be hard to change. Subaru, who's our title sponsor, it's actually the 25th anniversary of Subaru sponsoring the traveling teams. Mm-hmm. Their automotive plant in Indiana is a 100% zero landfill plant.
Oh, wow.
Everything that they make goes back into the process.
Oh, that's cool.
It's amazing. We're actually taking a tour of it here in a couple months.
Hey, let me make a PSA for Subaru drivers. I already complained to you about this.
Oh, no. Here comes.
So if you drive a Subaru, maybe you're one of the people that passed me by. I was doing the Vermont Long Trail, and we hitchhiked a lot.
Wait a second. Did you do the Long Trail?
I did the Long Trail. I don't know if you've heard.
I didn't know if you did that one.
Did you hear about that?
That's cool that you've done that.
One time on
Tell
the
us
Long
about
Trail,
it.
I was hitchhiking and got passed by a Subaru multiple times, over and over. Didn't get picked up by a single Subaru driver the entire time. So I'm convinced that they don't care about the environment. And they
don't care about the environment. They don't care about you.
Well, wouldn't they want to pick
Maybe
me up
they don't like that Oliver Anthony song, and they think you look like him.
Oh, my gosh. You know how many times I got the Oliver Anthony?
Yes. I only say that because somebody made the comment
that
on here.
So good.
That Let me see
so
where it's good. At. Here it is right here.
What about all the
Backpacking Chris. Backpacking Chris said, sing us a song, Oliver Anthony.
Yes.
What's going on, hikers?
So did any other cars pass you?
No, it was mostly Subarus.
Those are the ones you noticed.
It was the only, maybe it was one of those things where, you know, when you buy something and you have it and then you notice everybody else also has one. Maybe
well,
I find it like
whenever I wear a jean jacket, I see all the other jean jackets out there.
Yeah, yeah. See? But I think it was mostly Subarus.
Okay.
And they didn't pay,
I think you just really get irritated at the rich men north of Richmond. That's what I think. I don't know, I could be wrong on that, but that's just kind of what I'm thinking. That's what happens.
So, PSA Subaru drivers, if somebody is a backpacker, not an axe murderer, okay, just like
how
a regular, I mean, you got to just trust in the process, you know?
Fair.
So Jeremiah?
Pick up your hitchhiker Subaru drivers.
Yeah.
Maybe they know what you smell like.
Oh, there you
go.
Now, let's just shoot straight. A lot of Subaru drivers like for their Subarus to smell good. Picking up backpackers is not going to make that Subaru smell too good. Am I right?
I don't know. A lot of them have dogs in their car. So.
I love
dogs. Yeah, but have you smelled a backpacker compared to a dog?
Yeah, I smelled myself just the other day.
I was going to say. And you have to drive a Subaru.
Yeah,
you're bucking the whole system right now.
We are.
That's great.
Yeah.
You guys want to trigger some people?
Oh, man. Nothing.
I know
I
you
love
do.
More.
Otherwise, you want to ask.
I love it.
All right.
He's coming out swinging, ain't he?
This is my thing, bro. This is what I enjoy. So here we got some great. Now, this is other people's comments. I'm reading other comments.
Yeah, pop them up here.
So, okay. Two comments, both about the same topic. Karen's convo causes so much drama. LOL. Steve Wright, Karen's are backcountry text messages. What are your thoughts on Karen's, Mr. Leave No Trace?
Oh, my goodness. So should I preface, like, yes, I work for Leave No Trace. Yes, I try to influence behavior. But I am not, like, the end-all, be-all of New York City, okay?
Aren't you the official spokesperson, representative?
That's what
of
I thought. He's traveling the country doing this.
I am a very, very small part of a larger initiative, right? But anyway.
He's really saying is Janelle's in charge.
Kind of. Yeah,
that's what he's really saying.
Karen's have a place in certain trails.
Yeah.
Like, as far as navigation markers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Karens that you see out on trail, I mean, even the National Park Services advise you to knock them over. But if you're going to knock those over, dismantle them, because things could have taken up residence in them, right? Especially in streams. There are things that live in rocks and under rocks and streams. Mm. So Karens, as cool as you think they are, Karens shouldn't be built where they're not adding any navigational benefit.
Yeah. Well, I know, like, trails like the Uinta Trail.
I didn't do Uinta, but...
That I know that trail, there's places where you're just walking across a giant field.
Right.
And those Karens are out there, I guess, to actually help
Absolutely.
You know where to go.
Right.
But I think those are there for that reason.
Correct. I mean, in Iceland, there's Karens all over the country, and those were there from, like, the Viking time, because that's how they navigated those landscapes.
Yeah.
Right? So that's what Karens were originally for. They're signposts. Right? And sure, they might be modern-day text messages too, but, you know, stacking rocks is cool, but unnecessary.
Do you see this?
I like that.
These,
you handled that one well, man. That was great.
You know, I try to be as diplomatic as possible.
You did good. Like, I'm impressed. I was like, can I bust him on one? You won't let me, dude. You're just too good at what you do.
Well, you know what's funny is, like, my bosses are probably going to see this and be like, you didn't tell us you were going to be on this podcast. But
here's
I kind of did.
Here's the thing. We are Leave No Trace people. Like, we really are. I got to give this guy a hard time because we like him. But, okay,
y'all
so
see this?
What are we looking at?
The giant salamander?
Yeah, the Hellbenders, they're called.
Yeah,
in the Smoky Mountains.
Yeah.
What
now?
This
is, these Hellbenders, like this one, I mean, people can't see online. Y'all have to Google this. I mean, I can give you a little taste here. But the Hellbenders in the Great Smoky Mountains, they are, I don't know if it's endangered or... about to be endangered,
see
but that one's
on
dead.
Screen.
You see that one?
Mm-hmm.
It's upside down. And what's disturbing them is...
Karens.
Yeah, the Karens, people building these rock piles in these creeks in the Smoky Mountains. That's Clay County, North Carolina, that picture's from. But they're building these Karens, and it's disrupting the natural habitat of that specific species. I don't know about all of it, but it's hurting the population.
Well, I mean,
look at that, putting up signs,
right,
just telling people don't move.
Right, exactly. And, you know, if you're building big enough things, now you're changing currents.
Mm-hmm.
That can affect fish behavior. And there's a lot. And it, you know, sure, a Karen here and there, yeah, they pop up. But, like, just a sea of Karens,
mm-hmm.
yeah, it's an impact.
Let me see if I can show you.
That's also where you hear a lot of complaining.
Correct. I agree.
A sea of Karens.
Yeah, don't be a Karen Karen.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I have, there's this one spot on the long trail. I don't know if y'all heard about this. I've done the long trail.
Who was this?
And
Have you done a long trail? Where is that? Is that in Massachusetts?
It's a long trail in Massachusetts.
It's in Massachusetts?
No, it starts on the border of Vermont, Massachusetts. I was going to show you this spot. There's a spot on the trail that it's like a whole, look at that.
Yep.
This whole area is all just people going and building cairns. It's like a whole littered area, and it's in the guidebooks and everything.
Interesting.
I can't remember what it's called, but I wonder, is this okay, Leave No Trace wise?
Well, I mean, a lot of it depends. Are they just tourists coming there and just stacking these for the sake of it?
Yeah, this is
does it have a cultural significance? I mean, that's different.
No, I don't think so. I think this is just an area on the long trail where it's known for all the cairns, and people just go up there.
Stacked rocks, and everyone was like, well, that's a good place to stack rocks.
Well, if you ask me, it looks like it's built for stacking rocks. Look at all those rocks.
It is now.
Well, I'm trying to bring something up here. Everybody's seeing my screen, and they're not seeing what I want them to see. But now I think they're seeing. There it is right there. Okay. So if people are watching online, there's what those hellbenders look like.
It's like a giant salamander.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're pretty massive.
They can get 2 to 3 feet. That's it.
Yeah, they're massive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they live under big rocks.
Really?
In rivers, yeah.
That's wild.
Kids like to build those in creeks and stuff, the cairns.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about beaver, man? We were down in Big South Fork, and these beavers had dammed up this whole section of the creek or river, and it's like stopping water flow, of course, a dam does.
Right.
Are we supposed to go in and remove those as like Forest Service, or are you supposed to leave it all natural? Because I know a lot of people on their private land, you know, that's blocking waterways. Maybe people need it for
cattle or
the fish population or whatever. So if there's a big beaver population in a specific area, should those be trapped and taken out and remove the dams, or do you let it go?
That something like that's going to be well above my purview. Land managers probably have to get involved. I mean, that's a whole ecological question above and beyond me. Mm. My personal opinion, I mean, it depends on what it's affecting. You know, if that water is someone's livelihood, maybe, but the beaver, were they there first? Were these other people there first? It's hard to say.
Well, there used to be a lot more beaver around here, I'll tell you that. Because, I mean, all the beaver trapping and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They smell awful.
Yeah, I hate beaver.
Beavers are just gross.
Y'all like beaver?
I think they're cute.
I heard Brian Winburn up here, he eats beaver.
Is that true?
He hunts them.
The pelts.
For those of you who could not hear him just now.
On trail, I'll eat some beaver, sure.
If you look at, if Jeremiah, put it on the front row, wave at us there, Brian, so everybody could see you. Brian is a longtime subscriber of the channel and our YouTube channels as well. And we got to meet last year at the Red River Gorge. So good dude. Good dude. So, okay. Rob.
Man, okay.
Right, he's getting pelted.
Rob. Where are you heading next?
Where am I heading next? After this, we're heading to Arkansas.
Really?
Buffalo National River.
Very cool. Now, let me be honest with me. How awesome is it just getting to travel around all these places and do this for a job?
What's it really look like, man?
So,
what's the day-to-day?
All right, here's what it is. So, a lot of people – we live and work out of a Subaru, okay?
What kind of Subaru?
It's a Subaru Outback Wilderness, and it's got a wrap on it that says Leave No Trace. I mean, it's pretty loud. You can see us coming.
It's pretty cool, yeah.
Yeah, and which means, you know, when we're driving, you know, we got to kind of be, you know, conscious of that.
Yeah.
You can't just, you know, just flip everyone off as we're driving.
You double park it everywhere.
right. So, but what's really cool is this lifestyle, it's very similar to, like, van life. Mm-hmm. You know, we're living and working out of the car. We get to visit all these really, really cool places. There's different sunrises and different sunsets we see every day. We get to meet people from all over, different cultures, different foods. It's awesome, right? And it's a very romantic idea. Oh, you get to do all this stuff. But there's actual work that needs to be done.
Right.
Like, we need to prep for courses. We need to prep for workshops because we work with all the big land management areas and a lot of their park staff to, you know, incorporate a lot of these principles into their park and how to interact with visitors, things like that. So we got to learn about the area, learn about their particular impacts, and design workshops and courses around that. So there is a lot of prep work. But the cool part is, now that we know all these things, our prep time went from days to hours.
Right.
And now we can spend some time and get out on trail and visit people and do podcasts and actually, you know, do these cool things instead of just being locked up at a campsite working on a PowerPoint presentation or working about how to speak Leave No Trace, right? So now we're starting to find that sweet spot, and it's a cool job. I mean, it really is. You know, and the people we work with in the home office, super supportive. I mean, anything we need, they're like, we got you. You know, it's awesome.
That is pretty cool. Yeah. So what places have you, how long have you been doing this first off?
Started in January.
Started in January. Yeah. So what places have you been to so far?
So we flew into Boulder in January where we did our training and onboarding. And from there, they're like, all right, here's your car. Here's your rooftop tent. Here's your stuff. Here's your schedule, at least for the first few months. Have a good time. We drove from Boulder down to Texas.
And we, whoa.
Yeah, down to Texas.
Whoa, how long was that?
It wasn't that bad. I mean, we split it up over a couple of days. And we
well, I guess it's closer than Kentucky as to Texas. So, yeah, okay.
And we try to find, like, dispersed camping spots. We try to camp free as much as mm-hmm. we can or crash it, you know, like friends and houses. That's even better. We went to Texas, and then we did a couple of workshops there. And then we went to Louisiana for an American Camping Association conference. And it happened to be during Mardi Gras. Whoops. Right?
So it's a rough life, dude.
So angry.
So we were at this big convention center at a booth. Then we gave like a 2-hour presentation. And the rest of the time was Mardi Gras. Right?
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was fantastic. Bourbon Street, the whole nine. Then from there, we headed into Florida. We were in Florida for almost a month. You know, all the way down to Miami, all the way up to, like, to Jupiter. We did all kinds of stuff.
So was this car brand new when you got it?
There was one team before us who had it. So it's a 23, I believe.
Yeah.
And I think next year we'll get the 24 because Subaru wants the newest, latest car on the road, obviously.
So how many miles have you put on this thing so far?
Exactly what I was thinking.
I got to know. Like, that's a lot of miles, man.
There's 20,000 miles on it now. And how many miles did we start with? I don't know. 13,000. So, yeah. So we put like 7,000 miles on.
Yeah, but in just like what, a couple months?
Yeah. Mm. And then from Florida, we went up to Georgia, and where I met up with Metro and Senior Hiker 77, John, Andy, what's up? Where I camped with them, and we actually got to visit like mountain crossings, and went to Brasstown Bald, which is really, really cool. And then from there, we're in Kentucky.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And you're going to Arkansas.
Yep.
Then you're going to be heading back to Virginia soon for Trail Days in May,
yes,
right?
Yeah, so Leave No Trace, us will be at Trail Days. So if you're in Damascus, come say hi. We're going to be partnering with Osprey. So
that is really cool, man.
Yeah.
I bet you're hating this.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
It just sounds awful.
It's just amazing. Coming from what we were doing, Janelle, she was an educator for almost 20 years, right?
What?
Yeah, right?
She's not old enough to have been doing that for 20 years.
Right? And, you know, I was in, like, logistics and stuff like that for a long time. We were both just like...
I like how you say logistics. Yeah. That's code for FedEx.
Yeah. It's
I know
FedEx,
that one.
Operation Logistics Manager, but...
I think you made a huge step up, and I think it's awesome.
It is great.
I think it's awesome.
It's cool that my phone doesn't ring 100 times a day.
Yeah. I will say, though, years ago, I did a video, and I asked a bunch of YouTubers to send me videos of what they're doing during COVID.
Yeah.
And one of the videos was from you... It was you telling people to quit ordering crap from Amazon.
I was. COVID, like, our work went, like, overdrive during COVID because everyone stayed home and just started ordering stuff.
Right. I mean, and they were also making an extra $600 a paycheck.
Yeah,
so.
They were. But, yeah. I mean, it wasn't just, like, these things. It was like, oh, I'm going to order a whole couch set. Three of them. And I live on the third floor and there's no elevator.
If you've never watched the video, I pegged him. Jeremiah was in it. A bunch of people were in it. And it was hilarious because his video comes out and I was dying. Because he's like, look at this. And it's these huge boxes that he's having to carry. So I'm guaranteeing you're loving this Leave No Trace stuff.
But those FedEx drivers, you know who you are. You work a lot. I mean, you do a very hard job.
And I'm thankful for every one of them.
And they may not be as recognized as much as they should be on the employer side. But I'm not going to step into that lane right now. But
you've seen the videos of people leaving cookies and, you know, cans of Coke in a cooler and stuff for FedEx.
Fantastic.
Did you ever get any of that action?
Absolutely.
Going?
So if you regularly order stuff,
tell us.
And you leave like Gatorades and like chips and cookies on your front step, we love that. It's like, yeah, cookies, chips. Are you kidding? Absolutely.
What would you say was the best, or what would be the go to that you think that everybody should leave?
Well, the go to, uh-huh. Gatorade, water, and probably some chips.
And the Gatorade flavor.
It doesn't matter. I like blue.
All right, assorted Gatorade.
Is that a flavor? Blue.
Blue. I think it's cool blue.
That's what I call it too. Blue. I don't know what it's called.
Blue. Riptide
Red.
Rush.
That's blue. Blue. Bob's Blue.
I don't know.
That doesn't bother me.
Ice.
But I remember I delivered.
That's the white stuff.
I delivered 27
freezers, like chest freezers, to this person's house.
By yourself?
By myself. I pulled up and I dropped them off on the garage, and they're like, thank you so much, and they gave me $20.
Wow.
I was like, oh.
That's probably the best thing.
Okay, my back hurts, but I'll take it. It's like, that's all right. That's all right, man.
$20.
Yeah. So, couple of comments on here for you. Metro wanted to give you a heads up or say hey to you. He said, what up, Pelton? It was great to see you again.
Yeah, you too, Metro. So, man. It was awesome. He came up. He drove like an hour and a half. John, Senior Hiker 77, he drove like a couple hours to come see me. So very, very cool of you to do that. They were kind of like our hosts in Georgia.
That's
even
cool.
Though we didn't get to hike that much because I only had like a day. We set up camp and just chilled at camp and had a great time.
Sometimes that's better than hiking.
Yeah, sometimes.
It really is. Yeah. Okay, and then, I got the wrong one here. Hold up. There we go. Steve Wright. He says, if Rob was driving his Subaru in Vermont, would you pick up Jeremiah if you saw him on the road hitching?
Oh. If I knew it was Jeremiah, probably not. If he was a stranger, yeah, I'd pick him up.
Well, I'll tell you right now, in that car that y'all are driving, I mean, I saw your bedroom in there. I mean, it's tight quarters if you want to pick up a hitchhiker.
We cannot pick up nothing.
They
right
got
now.
Bedroom on each side. I think y'all got it perfectly organized.
Yeah.
Though. You got it built out. Dude,
yeah.
They got drawers.
Oh, I know. It's pretty impressive. I watched your video on that stuff, man.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, so if you're looking on out, if you want to know how to build out a Subaru to live out of it, you can check out my channel. There's a little plug right there. But I actually go into it and how I set it up, and it works out pretty well.
So the rooftop tent, you said it. And I've held off my questions about it, but
okay.
I desperately want to get a rooftop tent to use for my truck
okay.
to do some overlanding stuff. What kind of rooftop tent do you have?
We have a Thule Tapui Foothills tent.
Now, what?
Why is that significant?
Sounds like something you say when you're angry at your child.
Tapui?
You know? Thule Tapui!
So
are you doing?
The brand is Tapui.
Uh-huh.
The model is... No, the brand is Thule. You know,
is that how you pronounce that? Yeah. I thought it was Thule.
Yeah, that's what everyone thinks it's Thule, but it's Thule.
Thule?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
As well.
And Thule. The model's...
The model.
The more you know.
Is Tapui.
Tapui.
T-E-P-U-I. And then the submodel is Foothills. Yeah, it's a whole thing.
I got to say, they missed the mark.
It's a whole thing.
Yeah. But the reason why this particular tent is really, really cool, it goes on half of your roof rack. So it only takes up half
really?
Space in your roof rack, leaving the other half for a bike rack, kayak rack, or
a
cargo
box. Cool. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Huh.
And we sleep up there, and it's nice to be up and out of the way. You can catch the breeze up there. I mean, we've been in some pretty decent storms already, and it's held up really well. I wish the pad was a little better. I mean, I'm getting older. I need a little bit more
I'm
cushion,
right there with you,
right?
Bro.
So
I'm right there with you.
Looking for cushion options for this thing.
Yeah.
But I got to keep in mind I can't modify it too much because it's not ours, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if I find something, I'm going to put it in there.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
That's pretty cool.
The rooftop tents are nice. I mean,
I saw your video hooking your shoes up there.
Yeah,
you don't want to get the floor dirty in there.
Well, they actually make little like bags to put your shoes in.
Uh-huh.
But it's like $80.
$80?
Yeah, I use the $1
for a bag.
Yeah, for a bag to put shoes
and
in.
Y'all got a carabiner?
Well,
that's 50 cents.
A $1 carabiner works just fine. It's fine.
I got you, man.
Yeah.
And let me ask you this: with this living out of the car, have y'all normally we go with the backpack and poop talk?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all had any close calls living on the road?
As of right now, I mean, our diets have been pretty good.
The journey's long, my friend.
Can I just say that's impressive? Because I was in a band in college, and we toured a lot.
Uh-huh.
And when we were on the road, we did not eat well at all.
I mean,
I'm impressed. If you're saying we're eating well, I'm like impressed right now.
We could eat better. I mean, like,
what's eating?
I think our biggest expense right now actually is food because we actually go out a lot. We do try to buy groceries. We buy fruits. You know, buy some vegetables. We try to prepare meals. But
you got a refrigerator in there to.
Yeah. Yeah,
like
I
a little electric cooler.
Yeah, I actually reached out to Iceco. They make those electric fridges, and I said, "Hey, I'm traveling the country for a year. Can I have a cooler?"
This man's a genius.
And they're like, they saw the channel and they're like, "Yes." So I did a review on the Iceco cooler, and I'll tell you what, not buying ice every other day at $3 a bag
mm-hmm.
is awesome. Being able to keep meat and vegetables at a constant temp was awesome because before it was ice, we threw away half of our food.
And that just hooks up to a cigarette lighter, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and we have a little battery pack that we hook up to, and that hooks up to the cigarette lighter.
It's like a transformer kind of thing?
It's awesome. So they sent me a fridge, and they sent me one of the sliders that you just installed.
Okay, yeah, I've seen those.
So I bolted the slider to my platform, and it just slides out like butter. It is so nice. It's light years different.
So what you're saying is we both need to hit them up.
Hit up Iceco.
Well, they're a good fit for what you are doing.
Yeah, exactly.
That's perfect. So since your diet's clean, no big poop scares.
As of right now, no, unless my better half can think of one.
Oh.
I'm glad you finally admit she's better.
She said, "That's good. I don't have anything poop related," she said.
So we're going to do something right now. Janelle, could we use you as our microphone person now? Oh. Awesome. We actually put her to work, man.
Yeah, that's right.
We actually put her to work.
That's right.
So does anybody have any questions? We're going to leave it open to some questions for Rob if you guys have them out here. I know Brian said he could ask a question on a heartbeat. So, Brian, what question do you have for Rob?
Oh, he's putting him right on the spot.
Well, you said earlier that your first backpacking trip was in Nepal.
Yeah.
Did you go to Nepal to have your first backpacking trip, or did you happen to be in Nepal and go on a backpacking trip?
I had a – it's not a midlife, right? A third life crisis, and I just had to get out of here. So I Googled cheap places to live, and Nepal came up as, like, number one or number two.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, that sounds cool. Went to REI, bought a backpack, didn't even get measured. It turned out to be the wrong size. And I just bought a ticket to Nepal, and I just went there. And I was like, okay, well, let's hike in the Himalayas. And that's what I did for 3 months. Yeah.
So you learned the hard way.
Yeah, sometimes the best lessons learned are the hard way.
Yeah, it's the hard knocks.
Yep.
Any other questions? Oh, we got one back here from Chris.
So Osprey has a chokehold on the hiking community. What is your favorite packing gear? What do you backpack with?
Right now, so I have several backpacks. I have a few Waymarks, which is a cottage company out of Utah. Those just got stolen, unfortunately, in Denver. Mm. But I would say my most comfortable backpack for backpacking with some weight is my Gregory Optic. And it's a fantastic pack. I can put 40 pounds in it, and it feels wonderful. Luckily, that's at home, and I'm planning on grabbing it when we swing by there. But I'd like to look at something a little bit lighter. I'm looking at Pilgrim packs. I'm hoping to look at some of their stuff.
Can I give you one? It's expensive.
They're all expensive.
But let me tell you something. I got the Z-Pax Arc Hall
really?
Ultra. That pack is the best pack I've ever
heard
in my life.
It's made out of ultra material.
It's made out of ultra material. Okay. It's a framed pack. It can hold 40 pounds comfortably, and it weighs 20 ounces.
Riz, that's what Pilgrim does as well.
It's a good pack.
So I got my eye out on a new pack, so which means that my options are open right now. If I'm going to go really, really heavy, 25, 28 pounds plus, I'm going to use my Gregory. But most of my loadouts these days for 3-4 days, mm-hmm. all in is 23 pounds.
Yeah.
Right? And sometimes lower than that, just depending on, you know, how many luxury items I take.
Now, are you a frameless or a framed pack kind of guy?
Well, both. My Waymarks were all frameless, and I like that, provided it's not too heavy.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because your shoulder's going to be in pain.
Right, but the biggest reason I like frameless backpacks is because of the hip belt. Because whenever I wear a hip belt, you ever taken a picture of yourself and then looked at it later and go, oh, man, I should have did my hip belt.
Right? I look in the mirror and think, I shouldn't have eaten that hamburger.
So not having a hip belt is actually really nice, but once you get heavier, you need the hip belt for that support, right? I'm not light enough to go strictly a hip belt list at this point.
But. Yeah, I just don't. I tried the frameless pack.
Yeah,
I'm cool with frames. Okay. I'm at that point in my life. I'm like, you know, I'm 50, bro. Like, I'm old. My back is terrible. My knees are worse. I don't need to be like giving myself any reason to have any kind of more pain.
Whatever you have to get you outside, use it.
Don't say hike your own hike.
Let me sell him on one.
Don't say it.
I won't do it.
Okay, Rob, good. Let me sell you on one. You got to go with the R-Call,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to put it out there,
Hyperlite.
Uh-huh.
So, Metro, I spent time with Metro on the move.
He's a big Hyperlite fan.
He's a huge Hyperlite
guy. He's got their tents too,
great.
Doesn't he?
And yeah, he just got their new tent.
Also expensive, but like you said, they're all expensive.
Yeah, they're all expensive. Yeah. And I know of Hyperlite, but I haven't done a deep dive.
Okay, I'll show you at the house.
Okay. I think I'm looking for like smaller cottage people. You know what I mean? Hyperlite is still small.
But it's pretty mainstream.
But now it's getting mainstream.
Well, it's in REI now.
Also, there you go.
That's pretty mainstream.
It's in REI now. Which, why would you go to REI if you got J&H Outdoors here in Lexington?
Exactly. Right.
Shop local, people. Yeah, exactly. Shop local.
Keep it local.
Yep. There we go. Sorry. Got to plug our store, man.
All right, I'll check yours out. I saw Metro's. It was nice.
Dude, this one, I say it can eat and eat and eat. It's like 80 liters, dude. It's insane.
What do you need 80 liters for?
Well, you know, we haven't been backpacking in a while together. Next time we go, you'll see why I need them 80 liters. You remember that chair all, I showed you? Remember the chair earlier?
It's all
remember
chocolate.
The, chair, the lazy boy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't let him fool you. It's all chocolate.
Jeanette,
it's all chocolate.
You like
it's
that chair,
all
didn't
chocolate.
You? Janelle liked the chair.
Janelle's hiding. She's like, I'm not getting that in front of the camera.
Yeah, that's why you
so,
need so many
well,
liters.
See, so my backpack options are open at this point, but I am looking for something.
You also, you don't have to use all 80 liters, by the way. It's a roll top.
Yeah, oh, I figured.
You roll that sucker down to 40 liters if you want.
We're going to be getting some new Outdoor Vitals backpacks here real soon.
Mm-hmm.
Their new one that's Ultra Fabric, so...
Yeah, I've had
we'll
their
have to,
Shadow
we'll have to
Lives.
Give you an update on that one, too.
Shadowlight, and that looks like a nice
good.
Bag.
Shadowlight's good.
Camino.
Yeah, what I do like about Outdoor Vitals is they're doing some really awesome things, and I actually want to look closer to some of their stuff. I haven't looked at their packs. I've mainly looked at their clothing.
Yeah.
You know, like their dragon wool or whatever, like that stuff.
Well, that's what this is. This is one of the sun hoodies.
Fancy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm looking for packs, and I'll look at Outdoor Vitals.
Yeah,
as well.
they have a new one that's made out of Ultra Fabric, and I'm looking forward to get my hands on it. I really like Ultra Fabric.
For something in Ultra.
Ultra Fabric. Have you seen the new what's it called? Alula, I think is what it's called. It's a new fabric that's being used. I think Durston's using it on his
that's a fabric
pack. Yeah.
Alula.
Yeah. Yeah. All
right. Never heard of it.
Yeah,
it's better than Ultra.
They're saying it's stronger and lighter.
Everything's stronger and lighter.
That's how it works, though.
Which means it's cheaper too, right?
Oh yeah, way
I don't
cheaper.
Know if it works like that.
But yeah. Actually, the Durston pack looks pretty cool too, and it's that kind of fabric.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'm looking for something made in Ultra at this point.
I think the Alula stuff, the thing that makes it cool is there's a way to, it has something to do with the fusion of the laminate on it, where it stays better. Where it doesn't disconnect from the actual fabric, so makes it more waterproof.
Wow.
So, something like that.
That
just to become a complete nerd for everybody. There you go.
Yeah, they're gear nerding out right now. Did you see the other Derwin off the rails comment?
Oh, man. Did he leave another? Yeah, I've got to pull that one up here for us.
Rob's my Ridge Runner guru.
Yep. Rob is my Ridge Runner guru. I made my Ridge Line off his design. Thanks for the great tips.
See, very cool.
Well, Rob, I got to be honest. I got soft shackles because of you.
Oh, see, there you go.
Jeff Myers, Myers Tech,
yeah.
Yeah, I got that because of you. I have no hardware on my hammock at this point.
It's nice.
It's all Dyneema, whatever, Dyneema rope.
It doesn't get lighter than that, and it doesn't break.
No.
Yeah, it's cool.
Although, if you get that knot stuck in the cold,
then you're done.
Your life is over.
As far as Ridge Runner stuff, so my Warbonnet Ridge Runner hammock, like that was the bulk of my YouTube content for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then as things kind of progressed, I found myself using, I use the tent more now. I'll use the Superior hammock a little bit more now. And when it came down to choosing a hammock for this road life, I had to choose between the Superior hammock and the Ridge Runner,
mm-hmm.
which was a difficult decision.
That's that bridge hammock versus
a gathered in.
Yeah, gathered in
right?
hammock.
Mm-hmm. And so I had to end up going with the Superior hammock, mainly because it's got an integrated underquilt.
Right.
And it takes 2.5 minutes for me to set up.
Right.
You know what I mean? The Ridge Runner, in my opinion, it's the most comfortable, but there's more I got to pack with it, and there's more I have to do
it's
with
got the
it.
Spreader
you know what
bars.
I picked up?
Yeah.
Yep.
So Dutch wear gear.
Yeah.
He made this stuff sack. It's a Dyneema stuff sack that you can put your entire hammock and quilt in at one time.
Like a slug tube, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's for the whole thing.
Huh.
So you can have your quilt already connected.
You call it good.
And all you do is you tie it up on either end and you're done.
And I see the value of that. But the other thing with Superior.
Just say you don't like
hammocks.
My idea. Just say you don't
I
like
don't
my
like
idea.
Idea.
Just say it. Just say it.
If you're going to go with a separate underquilt, yes. But Superior hammock, the underquilt's already there. It's attached. You just migrate the down, you're done.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what about different
fiddle.
Temps?
I don't want to fiddle.
But does it unsnap? Does it stay on permanently?
Yeah, it's part of the hammock.
But what if you want to use your hammock in the wintertime and summertime?
Uh-huh. Well, then what you can do is get an additional underquilt, and it snaps on.
So then I have to have two quilts?
You have two quilts anyways.
Yeah, but what if you want
to
use
one?
Yeah,
but not at the same time.
Is it the same amount of down?
Well, then I got to snap stuff. I don't want to snap stuff. It takes
a
lot longer than
tying
it under the hammock.
With
I think this is getting really difficult now.
Now, check it out. You check out Superior hammock. You check out Superior hammock. Danny.
I like Danny. I like Danny. I'm just messing with you, dude.
Yeah.
Danny's a good guy.
Give them a clue.
Danny's a good guy. He's been doing it for a while now, too.
Yeah, he has. Yeah.
Should we see if there's any other questions and ask him about poop before we wrap?
You know?
I got to think of a poop thing.
I do have a question.
Oh, we have a question right here.
First, the comment, the light up there, it took me for a loop. It looked like it said go next. I was like, oh, you guys got something to do there.
I wish we could get a camera on that right now because that's pretty funny.
And then my question is, who came up with the shadow stuff, the hand stuff for the Leave No Trace principles?
Yeah, that was someone in Leave No Trace. So that was mainly because people learn differently. A lot of people can just hear things and learn. Some people can see. But some people need to do in order to learn, a kinesthetic learner. So we try to hit all of it by doing that. So it just helps. It's really good with kids, and it also helps with adults too. So somewhere in the genius of Leave No Trace education came up with the hand signals. And they're fun to do.
That is really cool. Yeah. That is really cool.
Really.
All right, even
kids.
Mary's saying, let's talk poop. Okay, when Mary starts saying, let's talk poop, we got to start talking poop. So, Rob, I know you've got stories.
Well, okay, there's so many poop stories. Well, what's funny about the job I'm in, we talk about poop all the time. Like, poop is a constant subject.
Well,
it's pretty taboo
in normal
society.
Which it's backpacking.
Be. Yeah.
Oh, we should all just talk about poop.
Do you poop?
Yeah, I poop today.
Do you breathe?
Sometimes. Right. I'm breathing right now.
Is it okay to talk about breathing?
If you want.
Then it's okay to talk about poop.
Oh, you heard it here.
There we go. Leave No Trace just told us we can talk about poop.
You can talk about poop. There's no shame in pooping. If you don't poop, let me know, because I guarantee you, you're not out there.
Hey,
that's good.
With the Leave No Trace, the main thing you keep saying is, you know, it's mostly for the masses, right? Like,
yeah.
If that's mass, when the masses do something, everybody does it, then it creates a big effect on the environment. If one person's doing it, not as big of a deal. So I'm wondering, if you're just on your own land, there's not backpackers going through there anytime, do you need to dig a cat hole? Let's say there's not a water source within 500 feet of it.
Okay.
Can you just poop on the ground and some animal's going to eat that?
Well, I don't think Leave No Traces for your property, Jeremiah.
Well, but this is an expert here.
Okay.
This is resident expert. I want to hear from
I think
I
Rob would
facts.
Tell you that that's just weird.
If it's your own property, at the end of the day, you can do what you want. I mean, mm-hmm. We do suggest having at least 200 feet be away from a water source.
Yeah,
that's
regardless.
That's the buffer zone you need for the land to filter mm-hmm. out anything, right, from rainwater and things like that. But your poop is not going to break down as fast mm-hmm. on the surface as it would 6 to 8 inches down. Because 6 to 8 inches below the surface, that's the sweet spot where those microbiomes live, the microorganisms live, to break down your poop. If you go too deeper, then the heat from the sun can't get to it.
Okay.
So there's that
you're trying to optimize.
Well, you've also got
biodegrade decomposition.
Well, you've also got the issue of human feces has, like, preservatives
Correct.
And stuff in it, and because mm-hmm. of that stuff doesn't break down because of that as well.
So
right.
If wildlife ate it, they could also be eating
right.
stuff.
And the other thing we get about poop a lot is like, well, why do I have to pick up my dog poop? Because my dog's an animal. It poops in the woods just like a bear would. Yes and no. So when
they're eating human food.
When we get into poop, what is poop made of?
It's made of the food that you've eaten.
Exactly right. What does a dog eat?
Dog food.
What's in dog food?
Oh, I don't even want to know.
Yellow dye number 5.
I'm sure all kinds of
grain meal, all kinds of stuff, right?
Yeah.
What's in a bear's poop?
Berries, fish.
Exactly.
Natural stuff in the environment.
Right. So,
nuts.
So if a bear poops in the woods, it's made of the things that came from that environment.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a dog, I mean, they could be on medication.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And now that's in the environment. So that's why dog poop should be packed up.
Now, I'll tell you this.
Well, here's the question, though, Jeremiah.
Yes?
Ben McMillan wants to know, if I poop on Jeremiah's property, is that a problem?
That is not a problem as long as it's in a toilet on my property.
Okay, fair enough. Fair
not
enough.
A problem. We've made the necessary arrangements. I'll tell you, here's the worst. And y'all can back me up on this, I'm sure. Dog poop that's left on trail, but in a plastic bag. That,
oh,
right,
that drives
there,
me nuts.
That's the worst.
Let
if
me,
you do that, there's a hot circle in hell.
Can we just all start yelling? Ah.
telling you.
Let's take it further. Dog poop left on the ground next to the garbage can.
Now, I would prefer that over just leaving it on trail, because at least then I can pick it up and put it in the trash.
I think
can.
A lot of people think, I'll just come back and get it.
Yeah, I think they just
He's
forget it.
They're not coming back to get that.
Right. One thing that we've seen is a dog poop, get a carabiner, and just carabiner to your dog's leash. Let your dog carry it.
Mm. Yeah.
Ben wanted to clarify his comment and say no, right in the front yard.
Oh right in the front yard.
Yeah.
Well,
so
that is going to be a problem, John.
You
that is an issue. Did you see?
Mary said she would poop in Jeremiah's property. So, so there's that.
Yeah.
There's that. So, okay, story.
Poop stories?
Yes, because he got you talking about something else.
Oh, my goodness. Well, okay, so this one, it happened very, 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 very recently. So I don't know what was going on, but I was backpacking recently with backpacking with Jason in the Red River Gorge, and I don't know what I ate.
Right.
But I probably farted 400 times.
Oh.
And it wasn't like normal farts. They were like the hot ones that like singed the nose hairs a little bit. And Jason and Janelle were like, "What are you doing?" And several times I had to run into the woods and nothing happened. I just farted a bunch.
Those are the worst.
Right? And I'm like, okay. So I'm like, well,
did you dig the cat hole?
So the cat hole was done.
So it was prepped. It was ready for whenever the time would come.
Right. Okay. So just so you know, since you're there, and if you just fart, you should still wipe. But anyways, so after a while, in the middle of the night, I got the gurgles. I'm like, this has to happen. I couldn't find my cat hole. I couldn't find it. I went right to where I thought it was.
Jason used it.
I knew it.
He's bad for that, man. He's got me before.
You heard it right here, folks. He's not even listening tonight.
So, he did it. And you don't know this. Janelle doesn't, neither does Jason. I had to poop where I was. And in the morning, I got up earlier than everyone. I had to go back and grab it. I had three sticks, like a picker thing. And I found the hole.
Chopsticks. Chopsticks.
And I brought it to the hole that I found that the next morning. I didn't want to leave it there. I felt so bad.
Well, I would hope so. You work for Leave No Trace.
Yeah, right, I'm saying. And I think we attributed it to biscuits and gravy. I think that got me.
Biscuit, the Southern
really?
Food,
so which
man.
One? Which one?
Well, I love biscuits and gravy. Where was that?
Whose biscuits and gravy was it?
I don't remember.
Was it a restaurant?
Yeah.
It might have been Peak Refuel.
No, it wasn't Peak Refuel. Peak Refuel's biscuits and gravy is delicious.
Oh, it's fire.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah, because it's actual biscuits.
It is actual biscuits. You got to crumble them up first a little bit, though.
Yeah. Do they sell Peak Refuel here?
Do they?
Mm. If they don't, we need to hook you guys up with some Peak Refuel.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the company right there, man. Yeah. That's some good food.
That's my favorite.
And then somebody called the chopsticks crap sticks.
Crap sticks. That's perfect.
that's a great title for those. So, Rob, why don't you tell people how they can find out about you, how they can find out about more about Leave No Trace. I know you're doing videos all year just kind of talking about stuff.
Yeah.
Why don't you share it with us?
So, my personal YouTube channel is my name. It's Rob Pelton. You can see it right there. I also have an Instagram as well. That's rpelton1. I'm sure the links will be in the description. Now, we do create content for Leave No Trace, but it's important for me to tell you that my content for Rob Pelton is separate from Leave No Trace content. I can't leverage the Leave No Trace into the stuff I do. So everything is very, very separate and intentionally that way. So this podcast, I'm here as Rob Pelton, who happens to do Leave No Trace stuff. I'm not here in a Leave No Trace capacity. I'm sure I may have been a little bit more diplomatic, but I think I did okay. Mm-hmm. But this is still going to get through the rounds, I'm sure. But it is very, very separate. So the stuff that I use on my own personal channel may be different from what sponsors Leave No Trace, right? That's why it's separate, right? But as far as Leave No Trace, if you want to dive in a little bit more, there is lnt.org. You can get a membership. There's even free courses on there and how you can be a better steward of your the wildlands that you enjoy. And there's a lot of free resources on that website as well that you can check out.
That is absolutely awesome, man. We appreciate you being on here, dude.
I appreciate you having me, you know, and J&H as well. I mean,
yeah, dude. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks to Chris and everybody at J&H. Absolutely. This is just awesome to be able to do this.
Yeah,
it's kind of fun.
I agree. I'm glad we were coming through at this time. It was like, so the timing was perfect.
Stars.
Well, and when we first asked you, we were like, it's on April 1st. And you're like, are you messing with me?
Are you messing with me?
But we're just glad you're here. And this is a way better backdrop than my garage or Jeremiah's office.
Right? Mm-hmm.
So we're very thankful to J&H for letting us do this. Yeah. And to everybody who showed up and hung out with us, it's been a fun night. Jeremiah, next week, it's a new day.
That's right.
For the Backpacking Podcast.
Let me tell you who we have on next week.
Let's hear it.
Presented by?
Well, not yet.
Oh, yeah.
They haven't paid us yet.
Oh.
wait a second. I think you scheduled the next guest, and they're going to teach us about food.
And who would that be? Food. That would be Backcountry Foodie. You probably have seen her on Instagram. She's been on other podcasts like the Backpacking and Blisters podcast. What's great about Backcountry Foodie is she comes on and she gives great ways that you can eat healthier while also lowering your base weight while you're on trail. So definitely get on next week and check that out. It's going to be awesome. We also have a huge guest coming on shortly after that. Jeremiah, you want to talk about that one?
Yeah, Glenn Van Pesky, who is the founder of Gossamer Gear. And he's going to be releasing his new book. I think it's maybe the day that we do the live stream, which would be April 15th, or it's dropping the next day. But you'll have to check out his book.
It's a fascinating book.
All about take less, do more. You know, kind of like what you said with Backcountry Foodie on you know, it kind of teaches you how to do things a better way, but with less.
Right. So. And what's great is Matthew McConaughey is actually one of the people who who writes on the book. And another one is the owner of Whole Foods Company.
That's cool. John Mackey, who was a co-owner or a co-founder of Whole Foods,
and now is the owner, and now is the owner of Gossamer Gear, if I remember it correctly.
Oh, I don't know. We'll have to ask. So, yeah, there is a good story about Matthew McConaughey that I can't wait to talk about.
Yeah, it's going to be great. But this is we're really excited to have him on, and then we also have probably the most interesting guest that we've ever had on here,
A
guy who goes by Moondog.
Oh, yes.
Moondog Roop is going to be on here in a few weeks, and he does something called skate packing. Is that what he calls it?
Yeah, we've talked to him back and forth, messaging and emailing, and I can't wait to hear more about this skate pack. It's like backpacking, skateboarding together, which if you can combine those two communities, that's huge.
That's pretty awesome. Not? So we're excited to have him on in a few weeks. We've got some just great guests lined up, and obviously kicking off with this guy just tells you it's all high class.
All right, it's all high class.
So for myself and Jeremiah, thank you guys for tuning in to the Backpacking Podcast. We will catch you guys on the next one.
Adios, folks.